Yeah, hopefully we don't just sing it as a hymn and mouth those words and really don't think that we need it, you know, or just kind of we just sing it mechanically. But none of you would do anything mechanically. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we get into a routine and we do things without really giving it a lot of thought, right? Yeah, you know. So, all right. So I'm going to speak on a particular subject. Were any of you paying attention today? I brought forth. So what am I going to talk about? Doubts. All right. And what Old Testament character was I going to bring out tonight? Ah, very good. That was kind of a little trick question, right? So who do you think I'm going to? Yeah, well, I don't know if he's in the Old Testament, but I did say Old Testament character, right? And I did say the book of Psalms. So anybody want to venture a guess? It's good. Wow, okay, we got a scholar in our midst. Okay, yes, Asaph. And we're going to look at Psalm 73. And I bet Brother Stan knew what psalm we were going to come to you with. And that's Psalm 73. And so we're going to look at dealing with doubts. I mean, we can call it the importance of getting alone with God. Will give us a right perspective, so that can also be a part of that. But just dealing with doubts, that's probably a more concise title to this. Now, I'm not going to go into a bio of Asaph, but Asaph was one of God's, or one of David's music men, all right, if you want to say that. He was a Levite, he was a composer of music, responsible to bring music into the temple, and the Lord used him in a great way. But we're going to see that even Asaph, as godly as a man that he was, and he was certainly a godly man, he had his times. He had his times of doubt. He had his times when he questioned some things. And I think that every one of us, there's going to be times when we have questions in our mind, right? Now I'm talking about where we question what we're going through. Sometimes we question God. Has that ever happened to you? Well, you know, again, when we get into that old nature, we can begin to start drudging up a lot of bad things. And, you know, when something hits us, it's hard not to go there. We have to learn how to be disciplined and how to praise the Lord and walk by faith. But listen, we're all going to go there at some point. I don't care who you are. But that's not trying to justify it in any way, but it's just part of what we're going to be dealing with. It's part of the landscape, all right? It's part of what we deal with on a day-to-day basis, but we just don't want to stay there. We don't want to stay there. And Asaph was there for a bit of a time. It doesn't say how long, but we're going to take a look here at really this psalm has 28 verses, and it's almost pretty much split in half. And it's split in half in a sense of Asaph was completely in one place in the first half of this psalm, and then he goes to a different place in the second half of the psalm. And there's a great, great example here for us about dealing with doubts, because this is something that you've dealt with in the past. And maybe you're not dealing with it right now, but this is something that you can package up and kind of keep it in your hip pocket. And it's a good thing to pull out. It's a good place to go when you're going through some things. And again, we're going to be going through those kinds of things. So let's just take a look here. And I think we'll start, well, of course, we'll start here at the beginning. I just want to see how far that I'll go. I think that I'll go ahead and go through verse 9. So we'll start there and we'll have a word of prayer. That way we'll just kind of jump in here. Starts off well in the first verse, and then you see where Asaph is going in all of this. He says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He recognizes that. He recognizes that the Lord is good, and God is good to his people Israel, even to those that are of a clean heart, those who walk with him, those who live for him. But then he says here, verses 2 through 9, and we'll stop there and have some prayer. But he says, but as for me, all right, but as for me, where I'm at right now is what he's saying. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. And so you see that Asaph, at this period of time, you know, it's not dated. We don't know when this was in his life, but there was a period of time when he was going through some struggles, and he was looking at the wicked, at those who would not put their trust in God, and he saw them prospering. He saw how well they seemed to be doing, and he was envious, as it says, envious at the wicked. So he struggled, and again, how long? Don't know, but he went for a period of time with those struggles and wondering, where is your justice here, Lord? Why aren't you doing anything about that? And we'll see that as the psalm plays out, he's got those questions. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this message tonight on dealing with doubts. Father, we thank you that we can come before you tonight. Thank you for a good day, a good morning, a service, and gathering together earlier today. What a blessing that was. And we thank you for a good afternoon of getting a little rest. Thank you for all those that are here tonight. And Lord, we thank you that we can gather together in your name. And so we praise and thank you for your blessings to us. You pour out richly your blessings to us from day to day. Help us to recognize those things. So it is a blessing to be here, first of all, because you've given us the health to be able to be here. Thank you that we can gather together and be unified as we sing unto you. And Lord, that we can have the fellowship that we have. We pray and ask that you'd bless. We pray for the Lord Jesus Christ to be lifted up and glorified. And we pray you'll help us with something that we all struggle with from time to time, and that is dealing with doubts. Lord, doubts do not glorify you. But yet you're kind and you're gracious as we go through some times, troublous times, when we go down a path that we shouldn't. Lord, you're kind, you're long-suffering, and we thank you for your mercies. And so we pray that you'd help us to see some things here with Asaph and the things that happened in his life, how he turned things over unto you and how you worked in his heart and life. And Lord, help this to be a good example for us to turn to. So we pray that, again, you'd be glorified tonight. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Asaph starts off well. Like verse 1 said, truly God is good to Israel, and such as are of a clean heart. He recognizes some things. Again, he's of a good lineage. He's a Levite. He loves the Lord, but he's going through a time. But he realizes that, you know, he's going through some struggles, and it comes out. And God uses this as a sacred writ. I mean, he's going to use this as a part of the canon of Scripture. It's going to be one of the psalms that we can get our hands on of somebody who was going through some difficult time. You know, life, when you think about it, life is a journey, right? And we're going along a journey, and life is like traveling on a road, you know, and no one knows that probably better in the last few weeks than the Petersons, right? You know, you talked about 4,300 miles. If I have to go 43, I think that I'm persecuted. I'm being persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just, you know, a short little trip. 4,300 miles, that'll beat you down, all right? That'll beat you down to death. But traveling, or life is like traveling down a road, and there are good stretches. I'm sure you saw a lot of good stretches of road and probably some great scenery. There are bad stretches. There are boring stretches, which would be like all of Nevada, all right, that I can recall, all right? And Kansas, okay, we can probably throw in a couple of other states. There's some exhilarating views. I can think of some places that we've gone, which is just gorgeous, and so on. You know, now you think about, but sooner or later you hit this stretch of road that the psalmist is on. All right, you hit this stretch of road, and he gets into verse 2, as we read just a little bit ago, that he said, "My steps are slipping." I don't have any traction. I don't have any good footing right now. And spiritually speaking, sometimes we feel like we're just not in a in a sound place. Well, that's not, you know, that could be just to our doing, because we're just not in a place where we ought to be. That's certainly where Asaph was. He says, my feet feel like they're slipping. I'm not able to get any good traction here. Well, that's because his mind wasn't where it ought to be. He saw some things about him. He saw some things that he became envious at. And it put him in a place where he didn't have any, he wasn't standing upon the rock. We're supposed to stand upon the rock every day. We're supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord. And when we do so, well, it makes a difference in our life, doesn't it? We know what it is to walk with Christ. We know what it is to walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. It's a blessing to be able to have that. Now, sometimes the Lord allows us to go through rough times. He certainly allows the devil to maybe to come at us. He certainly allows things to happen in our life to test us, to strengthen us. But unfortunately, Asaph had gone to a place where he shouldn't have been. He started to become envious at the foolish, as verse 3 says, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are times when we do look at others and we wonder, Lord, I'm serving you and I've been faithful to serve you. How is it that those folks down the road or down the block or even next door, how can they seem to be so blessed? They have everything that they want and they don't want to have anything to do with you. You ever thought those thoughts? Yeah, I've certainly thought those thoughts. We look at, some people that we try not to put people on pedestals. I mean, as a kid, I grew up just, worshiping athletes, for what they could do. And even as I became a Christian, there were certainly athletes that I just admired for their athletic abilities and all of that. And, there were certainly times when you asked yourselves this question, wow, they have everything that they want, and yet they want nothing to do with God. And yet sometimes that puts some envy in our hearts. Sometimes we become jealous of something that somebody else has, and we wonder, why is it that they are so, we might use the word blessed, but they have everything that they want. He said something about the fact that there are no bands, there are no restraints in their deaths. In verse 4, their strength is firm. It seems as if everything that they touch turns to gold. And that's certainly where Asaph was, and that's certainly where our minds can go at times. He says they don't ever seem to be in trouble. They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men, in verse 5. And so this is what Asaph was thinking. This is what was on his mind as he looked around and he saw the prosperity of the wicked, and he struggled with it. He was probably going through a really rough stretch. Maybe financially it was a tough time for him, and so he sees somebody else who has everything that they need and even more than they need, and it really hit him in a wrong way. And then verse 6, he says that pride seems to decorate these individuals. Pride compassed them out about as a chain. It's as if they wear this gorgeous chain, like with a heart of pride. They walk about and I don't see any judgment coming upon them. And he says they wear in verse 6, he says violence covereth them as a garment. They are violent and they're mean to other people, and yet they put that on as a garment, as if they're going about and just with a strut, as if I've got everything that I need. You think about some of the things that we saw, and some of the things that we still continue to see from time to time, but especially during the year of the pandemic, right? All the rioting that took place, and you saw people just breaking into stores and getting, the smash and grab tactics that they were using, and you look at that and there's just something inside you. Didn't there's anything inside you that sense of justice, like, ugh, it just irks me that they can do that, and they get out and they get in a car and they take off and they grab all that they could. Yeah, that's something that just gets a hold of you and I, because that's just not right. And Asaph saw that as well. Asaph saw people that were maybe getting away with a whole lot, and they were violent. They were mean and angry, and yet they were blessed. That's how he looked at it. He says everything that their eyes look at. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Everything that they want, that they get. He goes on to say that they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Everything that comes out of their mouth is corrupt. They don't honor God in any way. They speak about concerning oppression, and they speak loftily, very proudly. And he says, I don't see any judgment coming upon them. And then he says, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They even shake their fist at God and say, if God is so great, why doesn't he do anything? And they just boast all the day long. So he sees all of that. And he certainly is in a bad place. He's way off base. Verses 10 through 12 says, therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Again, they're speaking words against God. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So he is way off base. He's not dealing in reality. He's not even in the ballpark of reality. His perception is all skewed. All right? It's all just convoluted, and he's not seeing things in the right way. You know, we can certainly become that, can we? Yeah, we certainly can become that way. You know, things, sometimes perception, you know, is not what it, you know, it doesn't play out as we think it does. You know, sometimes we see a shadow that looks like, as big as a gorilla, and we turn, and it's a little kid standing in front of a little spotlight. You know, and sometimes our perception gets way blown out of proportion. We look at something and we think, we think such and such about a certain thing, and yet it doesn't really play out with reality. But, you know, we're not thinking along the right lines anyway, and that's certainly where Asaph was. He got way out of whack, all right? He was kind of in a mental and spiritual fun house. You know, over at the fair, they always have a fun house where you go through and there's always things that just hit you. It's like, oh, wow, you know, and out of the blue, things that are unexpected. Sometimes life can do that with us. We're just like going through this mental fog and a mental and emotional fun house. We make wrong assessments sometimes at the drop of a hat. Things that we look at, we become envious, just like he did, as it says in verse 3. And then we have regrets. Why did I do all of this? Why did I go and give my life to the Lord? Why am I walking with him? How important it is at a time like this, when things begin to get ramped up in our hearts and we begin to have some of those kinds of thoughts, that we just learn to keep our cool and just learn how to calm down and just learn to go to the Lord at this time and learn to trust him. Because we can get into such a place just like this. Our emotions can get the best of us. You know, we're told to be good stewards. We're told to be good stewards of everything in our life. And one of those things in our lives that we need to be good stewards over is our emotions. You know, emotions are a wonderful thing. There are some great emotions, and then there's some emotions that can be darker, right? But God's given us a whole range of emotions, and I'm grateful for happy emotions. I'm grateful that, you know, I wouldn't want to be like the character on Star Trek, what, Spock? He didn't have any emotions. I wasn't a Trekker or whatever you want to call him. But I like the fact that we have emotions. I like to get stirred up and to get excited and to have all that, but we got to be good stewards of our emotions, because they can get the best of us, and they can take us down a wrong road. And that's where we need to look to the Lord and seek his face and ask him to help us with that, because that's where Asaph was going. You know, our emotions can be like a pack of angry dogs. I remember one time when I was reading meters for the gas company, and I was walking by this on the sidewalk, and there was a fence. And on the other side was a kennel with a lot of dogs in it. There were several dogs in there, and they were all barking at me like they were just going crazy. And I looked at those dogs, and one of them was a cute little, I don't know, like a Jack Russell type of dog. I'm not sure exactly what kind of a dog he was. Cute little guy. He was barking with the rest of them. And I just thought, oh, come on, little puppy. And I just thought maybe I could befriend him. And I got my finger too close and he bit me. It's like, what was I thinking? It's a whole kennel full of angry dogs. You know, our emotions can be that way. And they can just be out of sorts. And it's a good time. It's a good time right then to just learn how to just trust the Lord. Now, verses 14 through 16, as we continue to go on here, let me go back to verse 12. I'm not sure I covered this. He says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches, which I read that one. Now, verse 13, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. You know what he's saying? He's saying, why did I do all of this? Why have I lived for the Lord? Can you imagine making that statement? Yet maybe sometimes we do in our hearts. We think, why am I serving the Lord and going through all of this trial and all of these disappointments and setbacks? Here I'm being faithful to the Lord, and I look around, and there are those who are just prospering, and they don't even love God. They hate God, right? We think, well, we'll never think that way. Oh, if it hasn't happened to you yet, those thoughts will come across your mind at some point, even with godly Asaph here. And so he's wondering why I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. And then he says in verses 14 through 16, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, and he's saying, if I say, and I think this is what he's saying here in this verse, I will speak thus. I'm going to, the thought comes to my mind, I'm going to make this known to others, the things that I'm thinking, the injustices that I'm thinking. And he realizes, no, that's not a good thing. This is not a good thing for me to broadcast any of this. He says, behold, if I do that, he says, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Let me just say this. If you're going through a rough time, and maybe some of those thoughts are coming to your mind, and you wonder, why is it that I'm going through this health issue? Why is it that God is allowing this in my life? And maybe some bitterness is coming to your heart, and you're ready and inclined to say something against the Lord or against his injustices, let me just say it's just best for you and I just to, close this trap right here and not say anything lest I offend the generation of thy children, as it says there. We ought to be careful about where we're going to go and the things that we're going to say. We don't want to accuse God unjustly. Who was it that tried to tempt their husband to curse God and die? Yeah, Job's wife. And Job said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go down that road. And we need to be very, very careful about some of the things that we might charge God with. We need to just be faithful and just understand and walk with the Lord and say, Lord, you understand all things. I don't understand what I'm going through, but I'm in your hands, and I know that I can trust you. That's certainly the best place for us to go. And so then he says in verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I thought to know all of this, this was difficult for me to try to process. This was very, very painful for me to see all that I was seeing, all these injustices, to see the prosperity of the wicked, to see what I've been going through. And so he struggled. But then we see right here that something changed it all. And something changed it all when you get right here to verse 17. And something, well, as I would kind of think in my mind, something crazy happens, which certainly isn't crazy at all. But this is what takes place. In verse 17, he says, until, which I like that word, until. All of this was happening until. So something's going to change, and it's going to change for the better. And here's a great example that we can take and kind of put into our back pocket down the road for maybe a time when we're going to need it. And he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Asaph's perspective of everything had completely changed. Everything had turned upside down, or maybe it was right side up, right? Everything had turned around and gotten into a place where he saw things in their proper light. He saw things the way God sees things. He saw things the way that we're supposed to see things. It's when we come and seek the Lord. He says, until I went into the sanctuary. But until we come and seek the Lord, great things aren't going to happen. But when we do seek the Lord, great things will happen. Great things will happen as we look unto him. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, and the first part of verse 14 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Well, that's what Asaph did. Asaph realized where he was, and he realized, I'm not in a good place. I'm not where I once was, and I just need to get on my knees before God. And so he goes into the sanctuary, and he gets on his face before God. And he comes to the sanctuary, and he seeks God's face. And God is always to be found when we seek for him with all of our heart. If you're in a place like that tonight, maybe you're just not where you ought to be, just get some time between you and the Lord. Get into his word, get before his face, and seek his face. And you watch what the Lord will do. The Lord will reveal himself to you. He's great and gracious. And God reveals some things here. Verses 18 through 20, God's going to reveal some things. I'll give you a little outline here now on the last part of when things turned into a good direction here for Asaph. And this first thing is God reveals some things here in verses 18 through 20. And it says here in verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. So his whole vantage, or his whole vantage point, his whole perspective of what was going on has completely turned around. And he's seeing things in a different way, but he's seeing things in the right way. And it says, now that I've come before you, he says, I understand their end. I understand what's going to be the end of their lives. I understand where they're going now. I didn't see that before, but I can see that now. And he says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Wasn't he saying just a little earlier that he felt that he was in he says, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was in slippery places, but now I see they're the ones that are on slippery, they're in a slippery place. He says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with tares. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. So God reveals some things to Asaph, and he sees them very clearly in the light that God laid out for him. He sees very clearly that they are the ones that don't have any footing. They are the ones in slippery places. They are the ones to be cast down to destruction. You think about it, and certainly Asaph, it came to his mind, but you think about a lost person is in a bad place, aren't they? You know, as much as they may prosper in this life and as much wealth as they might amass, you still look at a lost person and you think they're not in a good place. They are one heartbeat from hell. They're one heartbeat from hell. It reminds me of what David said, and I believe he said it to Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, when he said, there is but a step between me and death. You know, Saul was on the run. You know, Saul had David on the run, and he was after him. And David said, there's but a step between me and death. And, you know, a lost person, they're just a heartbeat from dropping into hell. Every one of us were one heartbeat from going to hell before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about, maybe some of you might have some testimonies about how close you flirted with death and God was good to you and kept you from dying when you were a lost person and kept you alive until the day you got saved. Amen? I'm grateful. I mean, I could have easily have been taken out in different times in my life, and I'm so grateful that God kept me alive and brought me to Christ as a teenager. But you think about a lost person, they're the ones in slippery places. And he says in verse 19, as in a moment, How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with tares. As in a moment, utterly consumed with tares. Can you imagine being lost, dying, and waking up in hell? Can you imagine that? We will never have that happen to us. And praise the Lord for that. But you take a look at Luke 16. I'll just read these verses. Luke chapter 16. Well, let's turn there. That's just a good passage. Luke chapter 16. This passage on hell, some like to say it's a parable. It is not a parable. This is something that actually took place. And Luke chapter 16, and we'll look at verse, I'm in John, so let me get to Luke. Luke, and look at verse 19. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." And we won't get into all of that. You know, back then, before Christ died on the cross, the saints went down into paradise. And they could see people in hell, and there was a great gulf fixed between. And that rich man died without God. He died without his trust in God. And so he died and went to hell. Can you imagine that? I think there's a track that's put out that stated 5 seconds after you die or something like that. And it talks about what hell will be like. And I know that God has used that in a number of people's lives to turn them to Christ. Because once a person dies without Christ, it's too late. Just as that man that we read about. And then verse 20 says, "As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image." As a dream happens and seems so real, yet when it's over, as it said, God awakes and then reality hits. You know, a lot of people live in this life like it's just a dream world. They live in this life like it's make-believe. They don't even want to come into confrontation, or they don't want to face reality about the fact that they're going to die one day. I've had many opportunities to preach at memorial services or funeral services, and there were those out there that I know were lost, and they just, you know, there's no better time to preach the gospel than at a funeral. And there have been a number of people that have come to Christ because of a funeral, because of the passing of a dear family member or somebody that was a dear acquaintance. And there are many that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but there are many that listen at that point and realize, yeah, someone just died and their life is over and the gospel's been plainly preached to them, and yet they've resisted and they don't want to have anything to do with it. A lot of people just live in a dream world. They don't want to face reality. Think about the fact that one of these days, again, they're going to, you know, their little dream life is going to just end, and all of a sudden God will judge them. It says about the fool in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24 that the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. That means they're just in la-la land. They're not thinking about what's before them. They're just daydreaming all the time. The eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. And that's what is being revealed here to Asaph, about how God reveals some things to him. And then the next thing, in the next couple of verses in 21 and 22, that God shows his mercy. He shows his mercy to Asaph, and he shows his mercy to every one of us when we get on the road of doubts and we get away from the things of God. He says in verses 21 and 22, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins." And he's talking about because of what he once was thinking, how he was going down that road of doubts and how he was thinking against the things of the Lord, and that God hadn't brought down his justice on those wicked people and how they were prospering in this life. And so he says, thus was my heart grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. He said, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He says, my heart was grieved, I was pricked in my reins, and I was foolish, as ignorant as a beast. You know, God was merciful to Asaph, because Asaph realized, Lord, I was in a bad place. I was envious at the wicked. I was foolish. I was like without understanding, like a beast. And I doubted the things that you have laid out in your word, and I didn't put my trust in you. And yet God was merciful and gracious. And he says so in Ephesians. I think this is a great passage. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, we can certainly put ourselves here in this passage. We can certainly put ourselves in the place of Asaph. He says here in Ephesians chapter 2, as Paul was writing to this church at Ephesus, let me just read these first six verses. He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. This is every one of us. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is where we were, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But look at these great verses here, verses 4 through 6. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And there's certainly more that I could read, but I'll stop right there. You think about God in his mercy, how he loved us and how he saved us. When we were in the midst of all kinds of sin. But now let's fast forward, because just as Asaph was already a believer, we as a believer can again find ourselves in a place where we shouldn't be, doubting the things of God. And not putting our trust in him, and looking at the landscape, and looking at what people are doing, and all of the injustices, and we question, and we wonder why God's not doing anything, and then later we realize, how foolish was I? Because God understands all things. That I didn't just trust the Lord through all of this, and just didn't learn to take it to him. And that's where Asaph was. Asaph was ashamed of what he had done. So God shows us mercy. And then the third thing that we'll see in verses 23 through 25 is God will give us direction. God will give direction as he did to Asaph. Asaph had turned the corner, and that was all because of God's mercies that he went into that sanctuary and he took it to the Lord and sought him. And then you get now to verses 23, 24, and 25, and it says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me up. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. He says there in verse 23 that I've not been forsaken. I've never been forsaken. We are continually with the Lord. He holds our hand. That's what Asaph is saying. He holds our hand. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says very clearly, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And he gives us that promise over and over in his word. Boy, we need to hold on to that as much as we possibly can. We don't have it in our hymn book, but how many of you know that hymn, All I Need? You ever heard that? Yeah, you know, Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. And then it goes into the chorus. But that's just a great hymn that tells us that all we really need is the Lord. We need him, and we need him alone. And we can just put our trust in him, and he watches out over us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a great promise that you and I have. We might be destitute of everything in this life, and it may all go away one day, and our loved ones may pass away, and we might be the lone survivor, and all of our acquaintances and those that we were close to are gone, and maybe our the things that we held dear, it's just one by one, it's gone. I was thinking about a testimony night that was done. Bob Jones Sr. was asking testimonies from those in his congregation. This is way back. And people were giving testimonies, and there was an older man who got up and gave a testimony about how the Lord had helped him, or, you know, he had taken this and he lost his wife, and then his children, the couple of children that he had, they had passed away, and he didn't have anything left. And then he sat down, and then others had given testimony, and then the old man raised his hand, and he got up again, and, you know, Brother Bob Jones Sr. looked to him and said, yes, brother, what is it again? And he said, I just needed to add on that with all of that that took place, I have the Lord Jesus, and that's all I need. He says, that might be all that I have left, but that's all that I need. And he'd come to that conclusion in his life, and we ought to as well, because listen, there's going to be some times when we're going to go through some things, and it's not going to be easy sailing. It's going to be some rough sledding. And that might be something to do physically with some physical health issues, or it might be some loss of loved ones. It may be some disappointments in this life, but may we turn to the Lord and realize that he's never going to forsake us. And he loves us. And Asaph understands that. In fact, he says in verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. He'll guide me all the way to glory. I know that he'll never leave me. In fact, I know he's going to be my guide. He's going to take me by the hand, and I'll get to walk with him all along this life. You know, it says in Psalm 48 and verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. Isn't that a great verse? I think that's a great verse. You might want to write that one down. That's Psalm 48 and verse 14. That's the last verse of that psalm, that he will be our guide even unto death. And then Asaph goes and says to the Lord in verse 25, he says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Whom have I in heaven? But whom have I in heaven but thee? You're the only one that I look to. It goes right along with verse 23 as well. Lord, you're the only one. And whom have I on this earth but you? It is you only. And I recognize, Lord, that I failed you, but you're so forgiving and you're so kind and you received me back and you've forgiven me and you've loved me. And the Lord will do that for every one of us. When we feel as if we've let him down. You remember when Peter had denied the Lord? I think Peter thought he had just gone way out of bounds. And that maybe the Lord wouldn't forgive him for that. I don't know if he thought some of those thoughts. But here he thought, I'll never deny you, Lord. And then he denied him thrice, three times. And Peter was probably at his lowest place that he'd ever been. And you remember what the Lord said. He said, you know, go and tell Peter also. Go and encourage Peter. And remember when he was resurrected, he certainly went to Peter and encouraged him and said, strengthen thy brethren, encourage them. And he was there to be a source of encouragement to Peter. And he'll be an encouragement to you and I when we go through some rough times. And then finally, God will strengthen us. So these things that were brought out here in the second half of this psalm, where God revealed some things to Asaph, God showed his mercy to Asaph, God will show that he will give him direction, but then also he says that God will strengthen Asaph, and God will strengthen us. Verses 26 through 28, it says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Listen, our resources, my resources may all dry up, but God is my strength. It's like I said earlier, everything may be taken from us. Everything that we hold dear might be gone one day, But God will never leave us. God will give us his strength. He'll encourage us. He'll lift us up. Psalm 27 and verse 10, David said this. And it, though it didn't happen to David as the, that I was ever aware of, but David said, even if this were to happen, he said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So he said, even when I'm forsaken by everyone who is near and dear to me, the Lord will not forsake me. The Lord will take me up. He'll hold on to me. And boy, let's hold on to that as well. That whatever it is that you go through in this life, whatever it is ahead for every one of us, if it's the toughest trial that you've ever faced, realize that the Lord has not forsaken you. He loves you, and he will give you his strength. But he says, the contrary is so to those who will not put their trust in him. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. All those who reject God will perish. And God will one day destroy the wicked. God is a righteous God. The Lord Jesus died for the sins of all men. But there are those who've rejected Christ. There are those that are going to die and go to hell. We don't rejoice at that. We don't want to know that anybody's gone to hell. When we witness to somebody, it should break our hearts that they've rejected Christ. Praise the Lord that we got saved. I don't understand that. I don't understand how there's some of my family members still without Christ, and here I got saved. I don't understand it, but I just praise God for that. But I want to see them saved, and may we just continue to keep praying and looking for an opportunity to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 28, as he closes out here, he says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. It's always the right decision to seek God, to seek his face, to draw near to him. My trust ought to be fully in him. That's what Asaph was saying. My trust is fully in him. Let's just take a look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 is a great passage for this. In James chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8, all right, James chapter 4, you're probably well familiar with this passage here. Verses 6 through 8, he says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, that's how Asaph closes out this psalm. He says, it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. So Asaph certainly knew from experience what it was like to get away from the Lord. Somebody who had a godly rearing, a godly upbringing, and yet found himself going down a path of doubting, a path of, you know, questioning things in his life and the things that he was looking at, which, folks, we can easily go down that road as well. Maybe you're on that road right now, and maybe you're questioning some things that are happening in your life. Maybe not, but this is a good thing to tuck away and have for down the road when maybe those questions may come to your mind. Maybe those questions will surface, and you're wondering, why is it that I'm going through this? Why is it that someone else seems to be prospering, and they don't even have anything to do with God? Listen, if you're human, you're going to deal with some things like that. You're going to deal with those thoughts from time to time. But we take a look at what Asaph did. And Asaph made a monumental decision when he gets to verse 17, and he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. And then he said, then understood I therein. I understood. God gave me some understanding. I took it to the Lord. I trusted in him. I just got on my face before God and sought his face and sought the Lord. And God was gracious and revealed some things to me. And he showed me how merciful he is. He showed me how he wants to guide me. He showed me how he wants to give me his strength. And God is good. I think every one of us maybe has seen that to some degree. And so, listen, there's always, God always gives us the formula or the recipe for how to just keep our lives right before him and just to stay close to him. So maybe that's where some of you might be. Maybe down the road, maybe that'll take place. But listen, it's just good for us, for every one of us, to just continue to seek the Lord on a regular basis, day in and day out. Let's bow our heads. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll sing a hymn of invitation. Father, we thank you tonight. We're grateful for your word. Thank you for this particular psalm. And we thank you, Lord, for Asaph, for everything that we know about him. He certainly was a man that loved you, was a godly man, but he went through a time. And we don't condemn him for that. Lord, every one of us have gotten away from you. But he went through a time of doubting and questioning. But God, you were merciful with him, and you worked in his heart. And he turned unto you, and you were gracious to reveal some things unto him. And Lord, we know that you'll do the same for us. Help us to keep our eyes and our sights on you. Help us to walk with you every day. But we know that when disappointments come, when some severe trials come, that we might find ourselves questioning and wondering. And we look around and we see people that are prospering. We see people that are, you know, declared atheist and people that have nothing to do with you. And we see how they prosper. Sometimes that can work against us. So we pray that we keep our eyes on you. Help us, Lord, as we seek to walk with you each and every day. And we pray for anybody here tonight without Christ. If there is somebody here tonight without you, we pray that you'd work in their hearts and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We thank you again, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, brother.